All right. This is James Newberry, and I'm here with Mr. Anthony Coleman on Monday, February 3rd, 2020, at the Kennesaw State University Center. I want to thank you for coming by and meeting with me, and just ask on the recording if you agree to this interview.
Yes, I do.
Thank you so much. So could you please tell me your full name?
My name is Anthony Calvin Coleman.
And what's your birth date?
11-11-57.
Okay, and where did you grow up?
I grew up here in Marietta in Cobb County, born and raised here, and was born at Kennestone Hospital.
What were your parents' names?
My parents' name, my father's name was Robert Coleman, and my mother's name was Juanita Coleman.
What did they do for a living?
My father, he worked it for Ford Motor Company when I was a small kid, yeah. And my mother worked at Lockheed Martin.
What did she do at Lockheed?
I'm not sure what her title was. Like I said, it's probably a small kid. I can't remember actually what she done out at Lockheed back then.
What was life like in your community when you were growing up?
Growing up as a kid, the community was real closed. You know, we had what you call like community moms, you know, when kids would act up or something, everybody's parents knew each other and they didn't have a problem with them disciplining their kid.
Right.
Basically back then, you know, if we got out of line, oh yeah, they would definitely discipline us.
So it was close-knit.
Yeah, it was close-knit. Oh yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about your early education?
I attended the Lemon Street Elementary School during segregation. I remember how the teachers were very caring and loving, you know, and passionate about teaching and about learning just in general, basically. And that spoke volumes to me, you know, that these teachers would spend the time with you. It was just a passion, you know. When you're passionate about something, you love it, you know. And you love what you do and you love the kids and instilling in them the value of learning, basically.
Can you describe Lemon Street Elementary when you were a student? What did it look like? What do you remember of the layout?
You know, basically what I see now is I used to walk down the sidewalk, walking in the front entrance of the building. To my left, the principal's office was right there on the left. You know, teacher's classroom to the right. Actually, once you pass the principal's office, the first left, the first door on the left, there was a teacher's lounge. Next to that teacher's lounge was my first grade teacher, you know, Miss Etchison, basically.
Do you remember Miss Etchison's first name?
No, I can't remember what her first name is.
So she was your first grade teacher?
She was my first grade teacher.
Was first grade the first year you went there? Or did
yes.
you have anything before first grade?
No.
Okay. Can you tell me about sort of an average day at school? And you can, you know, any year you were there, but what was the average day like starting from leaving the house?
The average day started out going to your classroom, and the first thing you do in the morning is call roll call, you know. You know, and the first thing they done was roll call. And you would answer roll call, you know, here or absent, you know. Second thing was laying out the classroom assignment for the day. And when she laid out the classroom assignment, she started by putting it on the board, you know, notes back then. You know, you didn't have all day to get the information off the board because it was going to be erased. And if you were not what we call, the word I'm looking for is persistent in getting that information out. You better get it from one of your buddies or one of the girls that writes a little bit faster than you,
right?
Basically, pretty much.
And where did you eat lunch in the building?
As you pass Miss Etchison's classroom, you go down probably about a few more feet to your right. That was the cafeteria, the lunch where everybody congregated.
Did you bring your lunch, or was there lunch made there?
There was lunch made there.
Okay. And what do you remember what was served?
It was healthy. Sometimes it was green beans, you know, cream potatoes, you know, rolls, and a meat protein and milk.
Did you eat by grade level? Like you see in schools today where, you know, the first graders eat and then the second graders. Do you recall at all?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Sort of by grade level?
Grade level. Yeah, everybody didn't eat at the same time, basically.
Was there recreation, playground, recess type schedule in the day?
Yeah, absolutely. There were swings, basketball goals, jump ropes. You know, they had certain activities that we done, exercises and stuff outside.
Okay. How did you get to school?
I walked to school.
Okay. Yeah. Do you remember about how far it was?
Probably took me maybe 10 minutes to get to school.
Did you walk with a group of kids or on your own?
I walked on my own.
Okay. Yeah. What subjects do you remember learning at Lemon Street Elementary?
Oh, we done the spelling bee, you know. Yeah, that was poppy, you know. That was competition there, you know.
Yeah.
You know, you had so many words that you had to spell. You get those assignments, you carry them home, you study them and go over them. And then you had to come back, you know, she would give you spelling tests in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, either you would get, depending on how well you done, either you would get how they used to grade them? 100, 90, 95, 85, 80. I remember 75, 70s.
So what kind 60s. Of student were you?
I think I done pretty good in spelling. I think I was probably about a B. Yeah. I would be able to be, yeah.
Tell me about your teacher, Harvey Maxwell.
Mr. Maxwell, he was an extraordinary man. Loved education, loved history, very disciplinary guy. Discipline. He believed in discipline.
What kind of discipline? How would he discipline you?
Well, I mean, he would correct you verbally, but if you didn't comply, you would get a paddling. Yeah, correction, yeah.
And that would happen in class?
Yeah, that would happen in class. Oh, yeah, that would happen in class.
Can you tell me about Jeannie Carter, your teacher?
Miss Carter was a math teacher. Oh, yeah, she was great. She loved teaching. I never seen a woman that loved what she done so and loved the kids. You know, like she looked.
How many kids in each class? Do you remember?
Back then, I can't remember exactly how many kids. Whether it was 25 or 30, it had to be somewhere in there, maybe. Yeah.
Do you remember any other teachers or administrators at the school when you were there?
Yeah, I remember Miss Sadler, Janie Sadler. Yeah, Miss Sadler. Miss Jenny Gresham, who I spoke to the other day, Miss Gresham. Jackie Willis or Jackie Walden Willis, that was her name. It taught down there. Yeah.
What was the quality of the education?
It was high. It was high expectation. Yeah, high expectation. It was, basically, you know.
Tell me about the relationship between the teachers there and parents of the students. Was there a lot of communication between them?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, all my teachers talked to my parents. talk to them about how well I was doing, what I needed to be doing, you know, the areas that I might be lacking in, that I needed to work hard on, basically. My parents went to PTA meetings. Yeah.
Okay, so it was mostly at PTA meetings, or did they ever speak over the phone or in person?
In person, yeah. Okay. Yeah, Mr. Maxwell came to the house. Oh, yeah, he came to the house. Oh, yeah, I remember that. Oh, yeah.
Like on a regular basis or like one time?
On a regular basis, you know.
Okay.
He wanted my mother to know what I was doing in school, what I needed to work on, basically.
Okay.
You know, and say he can do the work, you know, basically.
Okay. Can you tell me where you attended middle school?
Marietta Junior High over on Aviation, Marietta Middle.
Okay. And what about high school?
High school, I attended North Cobb, yeah.
Okay. What are your memories of integration? I know you were still fairly young, but where were you in your education when that came about?
Talking about when blacks and whites started going to school?
Right, right.
That had to be in the 1970s, I'm thinking, because the last graduating class was 67 of Lemon Street High School. And then, I can't remember when the Civil Rights Bill Act was put in. I think it was 1968 when blacks and whites started going to school. I think.
Do you remember about how, I mean, do you remember your first interaction with white students?
Yeah, that's when the yeah, that had to be 69? Yeah, it was in elementary, I'm thinking, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was in elementary.
How did it go? I mean, what do you remember of being in class with white kids as opposed to all black kids?
It was okay. I think, you know, kids being small and kids, you know, you really didn't see much of a difference, I guess, being young at a young age. I didn't think about where we used to go into school with white kids because we all went to, I went to all black elementary school. It wasn't until, you know, that integration came in that, you know, blacks and whites started going to school, you know, basically. So you really, as a young child, you didn't know nothing about segregated. I didn't know nothing about segregated, why it was segregated. You know, all I know is just a white kid, we're here to go to school and to learn. You know, we're just children.
So did you ever have any bad experience going to school after integration when white and black kids were together? Did you ever run into any problems or unhappy moments?
Oh, yeah, there was fights or something like that. That's what you mean? Oh, yeah, yeah, that's some of that occurred. Oh, yeah, yeah, actually, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, basically.
Were you involved in any?
I think maybe in middle school. Yeah, I don't remember down at the Lemon Street elementary, basically, pretty much.
So middle school?
Yeah, middle school.
Okay. I mean, was it arguments or just fights? I mean, were there people calling names? Like, how did that...
Just probably arguments, more so where... We may didn't agree on something or whatever, you know.
Right.
Basically, and it ended up in a confrontation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, when you graduated from high school, what were your goals for the future?
I thought I was going to end up going in the military, end up getting a job working for Cobb County government, working in, back then they called it data processing,
mm-hmm.
You know. I was a... a computer operator, you know, for Cobb County government.
Okay.
Basically. And I worked for the county from 1979 up until 1992.
Okay. So was that your sort of early career was
mm-hmm.
working?
Yeah,
was working there.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. Yeah.
And in 92 then, what did you move on to do after that?
Oh, I worked a little bit in retail. I kind of went from various jobs and done some retail, like at Rich's mm-hmm. back then. You know, back then you didn't have Cumberland Mall. You had Rich's shopping center, you know, and things like that, basically, you know.
And you continued to live in Marietta.
Live in Marietta, mm-hmm.
Well, what took you into politics, into public life?
Oh, wow. You know, I was a community activist, heavily involved in the community, working with community leaders and NAACP to address issues and concerns of much need in our community. And I really didn't have any interest in it. I was approached by Hugh Grogan's former wife and another lady named Julian Thomas. They asked me what I think about running. And at that time, I told them I really wasn't interested in it. I said, I'm really heavily involved in my church, doing discipleship training, teaching, and community outreach and so forth. And I said, Betty, Julian, I really ain't interested in that. And they said, well, think about it. I said, well, I tell you what, I'm going to do better than I pray about it, you know. And, you know, after giving it some thought, you know, I went back to him. I said, you know, I want to do something to make a difference in the community, you know. And after coming up against the city about Lawrence Street back then, because before this renovation took back in the 1990s, and I find that article that where the city was neglecting the community centers in the black community. And I rose up at the time. I think back then it was former Mayor Dana Eastham was the councilman. He was a white councilman, Ward 5 Dana. Philip Goldstein was there. Alan Hiron. Floyd Northcutt, which was the councilman for Ward 4. Where Mr. Dodd lives now, it's in Ward 5. But early on, back in the 70s, my mother and them were in Ward 4 on Tower Road, the redistricting map. They mm-hmm. were not in Ward 5. And I met with Joe Matt Wilson and council members and told them that, you know, I love flowers, but Mr. Joe Matt, flowers are not more important than children, and that our kids should not have to recreate in these dilapidated conditions, that the center should provide pride. So after challenging the city back then, they found some way to get some funds to do some renovations there, basically. So I look at the past history and look at what we've actually done now. And I, you know, was glad to be on the city council when we done all these renovations to all these parks and facilities that we have in the city now, you know.
Okay. And so that was a big motivation for you?
Oh, yeah.
And then carried through your time on the council?
Absolutely.
Okay. Can you tell me how long you served on the city council?
I've served four consecutive terms. Actually, I would say 14 and a half years. I didn't finish my last term out of my last term that I was elected, basically.
Okay.
I thought I had it in one of those papers. I think I did. 2000, what was it? 2001. I was elected to the city council in 2001. And then again in 2005.
Or a four-year term.
Four-year term.
Okay.
Yeah, basically.
So I wanted to sort of ask about the Lemon Street School from, I don't know, the late 80s and 90s. It was serving both as a local library.
Right, Hattie Wilson.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Hattie Wilson Library.
And as well as a sort of informal community center.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of events took place there? What has been your relationship to that space?
Community meetings, a lot of children that lived in public housing came down to read, you know, went down there and volunteered to read to kids, done several Black History programs down there at the library to share with kids about Black history, the importance of Black history, you know, mm-hmm. and who some of these community leaders were in the community that they didn't know, may not know, knew.
What have you wanted to see for that building over the years? I mean, I assume you wanted to see it preserved.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have any hopes? I mean, back before there was a plan in place.
Place, yeah.
What did you hope would be the outcome for that building?
That building would be saved and preserved for future generations and people coming from all around the country, or the state, to visit that building, and that it kind of be like a landmark or a tourism site for people to come to view the history of the Lemon Street School. You know, one of the things for me was to be able to go to a Lemon Street football game on Friday night. It was just so much excitement and adrenaline. And, you know, you getting ready to go to the football game with your friends, and you could just hear the band playing. They were just phenomenal. You just couldn't wait to get down into the game and get in all that excitement. You know, I think about Leo Stubbs, who was the band director.
Mm-hmm.
And those that were older than me that played in the band, you know, how Leo Stubbs drilled them in excellence, you know, in the band, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And when you played in the band, you wanted to be the best. Yeah, you wanted to be the best.
So good football team and good band.
Oh, yeah.
And the football field, as I understand it, is in what is now the parking lot behind the Turner Chapel.
Mm-hmm.
There,
right. Yeah,
sort of down in that lower land area.
Yeah, that's where the football field was.
Okay,
yeah.
Was that where would you walk down? You said you grew up on Montgomery Street.
Mm-hmm.
How long of a walk was that?
I would walk down Montgomery Street to Cole Street to Lemon Street to Rigsby Street.
Okay, and I mean, was it many members of the community walking down to the football stadium?
Oh yeah. People knew shortcuts to get to the football field.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Back over by Roosevelt Circle and McIntosh, yeah. Yeah, there were little cut-through ways to get to the football game.
Could you walk right in, or were there certain entry points?
There were certain entry points.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you have to pay?
Yeah, you had to pay. Yeah, you just couldn't just come in and try to slip in. Oh, yeah.
What kind of concessions, food did they have available?
Yeah, they had hot dogs, hamburgers, popcorn, peanuts. You know, Coca-Colas, they had it all. Corn dogs. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I remember that.
So were those athletes and band members, did kids in the community sort of look up to them? What was the relationship
there? Oh, yeah. Yeah, they were role models, yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, a lot of kids. Yeah, they were role models.
So you talk about wanting to preserve it, the Lemon Street Elementary School as a landmark, as a place where people, not even just Marietta or
yeah,
Cobb County or Georgia, but elsewhere, come into.
That's what I said in my interview, that, you know, that that I wanted people all over the country, all over the world, to know the history of the Lemon Street School.
And if I may ask, why do you feel it matters so much?
I just think people need to be informed and educated about history, the importance of history, and how important it is to preserve history, basically, you know, and that it's invaluable, you know.
And going beyond the exhibit we're working on, how do you think, and the building itself, how do you think there are other ways to spread this history, to help young people know more about it?
Workshops, seminars, educate social media, you know, CNN, you know, world news, you know.
Right.
You know, basically.
So who else do you think we should interview?
I've got a list of names that I left at home that I need to send to you.
Okay.
You know, basically.
That would be great.
Basically.
Is there anything else you'd like to share, Mr. Coleman?
No, I'm just glad that you took the time out to interview me today, and just excited. I talked to the young man that's in my city council seat now and just trying to mentor him and get him acclimated and settled down and say, hey, you got to work with these people up here. You got to build a relationship. You can't get nothing done if you're not working together. It takes teamwork. And I say sometimes politics can be confrontational. You know, you're not going to always agree on everything, basically. I said, but if they can meet you in the middle of the road and you can get something accomplished for the good of the people that you represent, because it's not about you. My mentor told me, Mrs. Freeman's husband, he says, Anthony, he said, always put the people before politics. He said, because if you do that, you're going to go a long way and you're going to do a lot of good things for the city of Marietta, basically. And I've never forgot that.
Well, thank you so much.
Yeah.
It's nice to interview someone who attended Lemon Street Elementary. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
All right. Mr. Coleman, tell me about the effort to get the historical marker on the Lemon Street property.
I was instrumental in pushing that effort when I was on the city council to have a historic marker down at the Lemon Street School on that property. I actually went to the city manager and asked me if we had have money available for historic preservation, and could we get a marker placed on that property. And at that time, he said we could. And also, I was responsible for the historic marker that Zion Baptist Church has at the old Zion Museum. Those two markers I was responsible for pushing the effort to get those done on both of those properties.
And if you recall, what did you want the historical marker at Lemon Street to say? What about the school, but also the community?
I can't remember per se what the wording is on it, but I do have a copy of it, and certainly I'm going to provide you with that, what it says on the marker.
Okay.
Basically.
Thank you.
You're welcome.